Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast is your one-stop shop for fantasy football news and advice. Can't decide on who to draft on the first round? Going gaga on how to line up your team? Got you covered. Traditional leagues, dynasty leagues, PPR leagues, IDP leagues, even daily fantasy football leagues. Join us as we break down all the questions of fantasy football. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hello, all you fantasy football fans. Welcome to the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, as always, Jeff Malinoff. And we got a little interesting, I got a little something special for you guys. So, Bleacher Report, thank God for Bleacher Report, has run a little article based off 8 players fantasy football experts don't agree on, and I am going to tell you which side of the coin these unpredictable players are. And they are pretty interesting, to say the least. And it's going to be based off wide receiver, quarterback, tight end, and running back. And if there's any others they left out that I think need to be discussed, then we absolutely will talk about it, because it's my show and I do what I want. Well, not actually my show. It's run by somebody else, but I'm talking on the show. Never mind. It's too complicated. Anyways, moving on. Let's talk first about why we've been missing last week. I've been in Hawaii. I had a great time. I'm back now. And during my time away, we had more information about a certain individual by the name of Tyreek Hill, who I put as one of my top 3 wide receivers in the NFL right now. And obviously that might be in jeopardy, as he's in the doghouse, if you will, in regards to his battery case. And it's kind of interesting to see what's really going on. And I know this was happened March 18th? So it was about a week ago, roughly. 2 incidents involving Tyreek Hill, of course, involved in the investigation of juvenile abuse. And it's interesting. There's really not much more detail, as it kind of just got swept under the... I'm not sure, but maybe swept under the rug is the wrong term. But it's been kind of, I guess, settled, I guess. And the Chiefs reportedly considered trading him due to all this going on, thanks to Chris Sims of NBC Sports for that knowledge. But as far as I... this is the reports I have. Overland Park Police said Monday, last week, they are investigating 2 alleged incidents, including a reported battery at the home of Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill, and have forwarded a report to local prosecutors' offices. He was in an investigation after police took reports of battery and child abuse and neglect earlier that month. As of right now, it says Johnson County District Attorney Steve Howe early on Monday said the investigation is still ongoing. I haven't heard anything since, so... But he also was in trouble for strangling his girlfriend in 2015, and he pleaded guilty for that on that case, and they just got engaged, oddly enough, too. You know, if someone... I'm not going to get involved in someone's personal life. That's their choice. I'm not going to deal. I'm not going to talk about it. But regarding this, does that mean there is trouble for your fantasy teams if you want to acquire or already do acquire in certain situations Tyreek Hill? It's interesting because I don't really know. It's a interesting situation, to say the least. And the bottom line is there a suspension coming? Is he going to get cut? A lot of things are still unknown at this time. And I seriously don't know what the outcome of this is going to hold for the future of the Kansas City Chiefs, because if they don't have Tyreek Hill, one of their prominent I know they have Travis Kelce still, I get that. But they also have the fact that losing Tyreek Hill, losing that deep threat is a serious problem. I am going to go on like this. I'm going to say, hold on to your Tyreek Hill as a top pick until you know the actual outcome. And when I mean actual outcome is suspension, getting cut, traded one way or the other, seeing what the outcome of this whole scenario is. If nothing is turned up by your draft days, by your draft days with your buddies having a beer and watching and having a big board at home, or you're doing it online, I will say that I will definitely say that he's definitely still a top pick for me, but I would be hesitant until I know the full results. But we don't know the full results yet, so it's still unknown at this time whether to go with that. Overall, I would say it's poor timing for this to go on. Obviously, this could have been, if this was going on in the regular season, in the middle of the season, I think it would have to do with certain, it would have to resolve in a suspension immediately, or cut for, or bench for a couple of games or something around that nature regarding the incidents. But who knows what's going to be going down. But it's definitely hurting Tyreek Hill's, hurting his stock as of right now, definitely. So with that being said, I really have nothing much to say about the battery case. I'm going to leave it to the police investigators, of course. I don't think I should say an opinion on it because it's a touchy subject. Child abuse is always a no-no, obviously. But, of course, there's no the investigation's ongoing. We don't know what's true and what's not true, so we're not going to talk about it. So let's get into the unpredictable players, and we're gonna go into these in detail. So we're gonna Okay. Anyways, we're gonna talk about these guys in detail. First off, we're going to quarterbacks because they're most interesting, and the one guy that needs to be discussed probably more than anybody else is a MVP candidate of a couple years ago that injured his ACL. You know who I'm talking about, Carson Wentz. Now, it's interesting to say the least with, you know, like he's coming back from his ACL injury. Like during the 2018 season, he said he wasn't at 100%. And that's why the reason he's kind of sitting out from most of those games last season, and why Nick Foles took over and basically kept Carson Wentz on the bench due to their success with Nick Foles. So it's interesting to say the least, because last year he kind of had better stats, almost better stats than his 2017 MVP candidacy campaign, as he threw for 3,000 yards in 11 games, 21 touchdowns, 7 picks in 11 games, compared to his 13 games before he tore his ACL with 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. He had a higher quarterback rating, 102.2, than his last, than the MVP season of 101.9. It wasn't MVP. I'm just using that as a short-term naming. But he said he wasn't back to normal. So is he back to normal now? I mean, ever since he tore his ACL, it's been a question mark. 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 And I'm not sure how else to go about this because of the fact that this is so, it's such a, like I said, it's unpredictable. Like the episode says, it's unpredictable over the course of how everything is starting to, like, people are doubting Carson Wentz and if he's going to be back in the long-term process, long-term for the, if he's still going to be the franchise player, you know? So with that being said, I would like to say is the, or the question is, I would like to say the question is Carson Wentz still one of the top still one of the top quarterbacks to be taken in the draft fantasy-wise? And of course, usually we're thinking, when we're thinking about that, we're going to be thinking mainly about later rounds, like fifth, sixth-ish. That's usually the right time to draft a quarterback. We've said that before on this show. But of course, there's going to be some people to take him very early. But I won't. He's not going to be the first quarterback selected. All right, I guess the question should be, who's going to be first? Who would you rather have? Nick Foles with the Jaguars or Carson Wentz with the Eagles? Now, the Eagles just signed or just traded for DeSean Jackson as he's returning to the Eagles. He's still a deep threat. So that's also a main thing. And basically, it's hard to really go on like who's going to have the better season, because they both have kind of, like, I would say the better offense goes to the Eagles, but with Carson Wentz's injury, he's still unknown to me. I'm basically like the guilty until proven innocent type of scenario. But I'm thinking more along the lines of just like, I'll believe it when I see it, you know? So basically how I see all this going down is I would have picked Carson Wentz over Nick Foles. And it's because of the offense around Wentz as well is very helpful. And the deep threat that is DeSean Jackson is going to be a huge help. And the fact he still has his boy in Zach Ertz, which I think is going to be a huge addition, is still a huge addition to that team. It's still a very important aspect of that team. And we all know that he has a chemistry with him. So that's still going to be a big factor when it comes down to it. So in the long run, I would say Carson Wentz will have a better year. And I say, you know, I wouldn't mind having him as my quarterback. Will he be my first choice? Probably not. I would say more along the lines of, like, I would pick Baker Mayfield over him. Just how talented that team is around Baker Mayfield on the Cleveland Browns. It's still weird to say that the Cleveland Browns are that talented. I'm not saying that in a bashful way. I'm saying that more in along the lines of, like, they've been a punchy bag for so long. It's nice to see them actually being a competitive and very talented team. Everything working out for them. I just love to see that. I think everyone's loving to see the Browns being good again. But getting off topic, I just think that if I had to pick between either Carson Wentz or Baker Mayfield, I'd pick Baker Mayfield as my first choice. But I would definitely have Carson Wentz as my second choice if that was the case. So definitely I would consider him as a potential big-time player. With the addition, of course, like I said, of DeSean Jackson and still of Zach Ertz still being a top three tight end in the NFL. Now, with that being said, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss some other quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends that are going to be unpredictable to guess of how they'll do this season. And we'll be right on that when we return.
Oh. Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's GSMCpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back, everyone, to the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. And like I said, we're finishing up our quarterback talks and our unpredictable talks all together. The main thing that this next guy, the quarterback list, is a concern is Kirk Cousins of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, obviously, he didn't make the playoffs last year. He was actually pretty disappointing, all things considered, because he was supposed to be the guy that takes him over the top, you know? He was supposed to be the hero. He was supposed to be, you know, if Case Keenum could take him to the NFC Championship game, then Kirk Cousins should make them win the Super Bowl. That's what everyone was putting in perspective. And I think I was, too, because how talented that team is around him. And but, you know, with losing some players and such, I'm actually kind of worried altogether about this fully guaranteed contract that the Minnesota Vikings bestowed upon Kirk Cousins. So, honestly, he's a dud for me. I hate to say that. I think he's a great player, no doubt, and he has a great team around him. But there's something about him that brings concern to me of how he had a great team, a championship team around him, because no one really left. And he had the same team as Case Keenum did. Maybe it was strength of schedule. I'm not sure. Maybe it was the pressure. But, man, I'm actually kind of, maybe worried is not the right word, concerned. I'm concerned about if I was picking between Kirk Cousins and another quarterback, depending on who that quarterback is, obviously. But he's not one of my first options. He would be like my last pick in the draft if I needed a backup quarterback now. That's just how he's been playing. He's been playing in such a disappointing fashion that it's just how it is. I can't explain it other than that. And the fact of the matter is, he just didn't seem like himself. It seemed like his time in Washington was his prime, and like now he's losing it almost. Maybe not losing it. It's so hard to tell. He is truly unpredictable of what he's going to do this season. But I said if Carson Wentz was one of your options, I say that's a pretty good idea. Maybe your second or third choice for the quarterback position. But overall, if I had a top five receivers, top five quarterbacks, excuse me, that I want as my quarterback for the draft, that are like, okay, I want him. If he's not taken, then I want him. But if he's taken, I want that guy. You know, your backups, of course. And honestly, Kirk Cousins is like 7 or 8 for me. Like, I think it's really all depending on who's available. I think it's a interesting scenario, to say the least, when it comes down to who's your top quarterbacks. But he's not in my top five. If I had to pick a top five, obviously Patrick Mahomes is number one. I would even put Tom Brady up there. I would put let's think about this. In a surprising move, I would pick Jimmy Garoppolo over Kirk Cousins. Not because of the talent, because I think Minnesota is still better, but I think that Kyle Shanahan is the best offensive-minded coach in the NFL, that he would lead Jimmy Garoppolo to a better season. I mean, he led the team with five straight wins when he was healthy, and he was doing pretty well when he was healthy before he got towards ACL. And if anyone knows how to handle a guy with that kind of injury and put him to his best performance, it's going to be a guy like a guy to make Jimmy Garoppolo better is a guy like Kyle Shanahan. So I wouldn't put him in my top five Jimmy Garoppolo, but I would definitely put Kirk Cousins not in there. So again, Patrick Mahomes would be in my top five. Probably Tom Brady. Baker Mayfield I put in my top five. I would put Russell Wilson probably in my top five, just based off he's consistently good. And is there anyone else? I mean, not Jared Goff. Jared Goff has always had my doubts, to be completely honest with you. Drew Brees definitely in my top five. How did I forget him? Am I crazy? Definitely considering not Kirk Cousins, I think I would avoid him, to be completely honest with you. I think it's one of those things you're looking at and going, you know what? He's probably not the best guy for the job. Not the best guy to give me fantasy points. I think he's going to manage the game, and I think that's just going to be it. He's just going to be a manager of the game and not going to be the guy that takes over the game, but he's just going to keep the game close, I guess you can say, you know? There's nothing really much more to say about that kind of let's go from that to running backs, shall we? I think we talked about the quarterbacks. Let's move on to the running backs. You know the guys that run and are in the backfield? Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. You know. And speaking of Patrick Mahomes, with Spencer Ware still a free agent and Kareem Hunt now a Cleveland Brown and suspended for 8 games, who's going to be in that backfield? Well, it's probably going to be Damian Williams. And yes, he had some breakout performances last year, but he wasn't the number one guy. He was never the number one guy. This year, he's going to be the number one guy. And can he take all those carries like Kareem Hunt did? Can he be involved in the passing game like Kareem Hunt was? And it's going to be hard to live up to the talent that Kareem Hunt was, because so many people thought, oh, this guy could be AFC player of the year, offensive player of the year, and have all these other accolades, and was going to be like a serious franchise running back with the franchise quarterback and be a duo that would be dominating the league for a long time. And then Kareem Hunt was in that domestic assault charge, and now he's with the Cleveland Browns. So that's not going to be what people thought, obviously. So is Damian Williams going to be able to handle that kind of pressure? Well, maybe not pressure, but the hype. Because he's now going to be taking over as most likely the starting running back. I'm going to say like 99% sure he's going to be the starting running back. And now he's got to be involved instead of like, what was it, like probably 20% of the plays? He's probably going to be involved in 70% of the plays. You know, he's going to move up in that snap count. He's going to move up on the number of plays he's going to be on. And is that going to be a problem for him? Like, that I guess is the ultimate question. And quite frankly, I don't know. This is going to be his first real test. And would I pick him as a... I think the best I would personally pick him as is a backup in my running back situation. He's not going to be one of my main options, obviously. I think I'd rather have Nick Chubb. Or, you're obviously thinking about this as like, all right, if I had like a middle pick in the first round, would I pick Damian Williams? No. Middle of the pick in the 8th round, would I pick him? Maybe. Actually, kind of probably. Just to have someone offensively part of the Kansas City Chiefs team, I think that would help a lot. But It's interesting because this is his first true test. That's basically what this is. It's his first true test. And that this is going to be very interesting to see how he handles the offense that is Andy Reid, and with Patrick Mahomes coming off his 50 touchdown season and possibly no Tyreek Hill for the foreseeable time, which is also a big issue. Damian Williams might get the ball a lot more often than not. Him and Travis Kelce might have to take up a workload. So it's very interesting to say at least what's going to be the outcome for Damian Williams, because if Tyreek Hill's gone, if Tyreek Hill's suspended or cut or traded or what have you, he's be getting a lot more looks. And can he handle that? That's the ultimate question. It's going to be the question throughout the season. Like, is he going to be good enough to do this, that, so on and so forth? It's a gamble. But honestly, I think he's going to be probably either having a record-breaking year or be you know what? I didn't even think about this. What's stopping the Kansas City Chiefs from signing a running back in the draft, drafting one, or picking one in free agency? If Damian Williams becomes, if there's no other pickups for the Kansas City Chiefs, they don't sign Spencer Ware, which looks like they're not, if they're not going to get another running back in the free agent market, and they don't get one in the draft, I'm going to say, why wouldn't they go for the Alabama running back? Like, isn't that a factor? Or, I don't know. There's a lot of options here regarding running backs when it comes to the draft that are very unpredictable. Usually they turn out well if it's a first-round pick. So if the Chiefs do draft a running back, which they very well might, or defensive, it really depends on what Andy Reid is looking for. Do they need extra help on the offensive side with possibly the loss of Tyreek Hill? Because they look to trade him, so it's not out of the window of Tyreek Hill not being a Kansas City Chiefs by next season. So what does that mean? So are the Chiefs in trouble? Is Patrick Mahomes in trouble of going from MVP of the whole league to, you know, becoming a one-hit wonder? Because the team's kind of falling apart around him. He lost his running back. Well, obviously, it didn't do that much to him. But losing his wide receiver, his top wide receiver, and not being able to rely on him when Travis Kelce is being covered triple, double, quadruple during a crucial play, third down play, or a touchdown, or a red zone play, who knows what's going to be the outcome. So, wow, they're in a tight situation here if I ever seen one. Man, they could drop like a light as well. Man, there's a lot of teams that looked good going into the offseason that might not be looking good elsewhere. And honestly, if that's the case for Kansas City, it's not their fault. First of all, Kareem Hunt did that to himself. As well, if Tyreek Hill actually did abuse children, like, learn from Adrian Peterson, man. Well, obviously, he's back to where he is now, but come on, don't hit. I mean, it's very easy not to hit children, but I won't get into that unless we have the full details of what's going on. But regardless, the players are making it so the Kansas City Chiefs are falling apart due to the players, not the front office. Our front office did all they could. The front office did great to have build that team. But if they continue to get into trouble, and also trading D-Ford did hurt because he was the best rusher. He was the best at pressuring the quarterback in the NFL last season. And cutting the veteran Justin Houston. And they did get Tyrann Mathieu. They did get the Honey Badger. But they did cut Eric Berry. So they did lose a veteran there as well. So it's a big question mark of what's going to be the outcome for the Kansas City Chiefs for next season. But as for Damian Williams, he's going to get the ball a lot. It looks like it's to be that way. Or they will draft a running back and make him over Damian Williams, and Damian Williams will get the same amount of snaps he has been. But we're going to take another short break. When we come back, we'll talk about another running back and some wide receivers and some tight ends. And we'll be right back right after this.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back, everyone, to the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. So, talked about Damian Williams, we talked about Kirk Cousins, and we talked about Carson Wentz. Let's get to one more running back, and we got to breeze through the wide receivers, or one wide particular, or a couple wide receivers, and then one particular tight end, and we can call it a day. So, Rashard Penny is next on the list. He was the 27th overall pick in 2018. And, he was supposed to beat out the 7th round, former 7th round pick in Chris Carson, which was supposed to be the end game there. Avengers Endgame. No, never mind. That's supposed to be 3 hours long, by the way. So if you're going to see Avengers Endgame when it comes out, strap yourselves into a long movie, but it's going to be a good one. But going back to what I said, there were high expectations for the first team All-American in Rashard Penny. He broke a bone in his hand in the preseason. That's what really did him in. And so, Rashard Penny had 85 carries last season. Mike Davis out-carried him with 112 carries. His 4.9 yards per carry was the best among the team running backs. And he had 8.3 yards per reception. This is Rashard Penny we're talking about. He did well with his time on the field. So does that mean he will get more opportunities in the next season? This upcoming season, will he get more snaps? I honestly do not know. I think it's a bit of a unknown circumstance based off the fact that there is still Chris Carson, who played really well last season still. He had over 1,000 yards. And with that being said, it really is coming down to the point of where you're looking at it and going, could he have a breakout year? It's possible. I'm not saying it's impossible. Kim possible. Oh, my references are bad. If you're 20 to 25 years old, you will get my references. Other than that, you will not. Regardless, back to Rashard Penny. Will he have more than 85 carries? I hope so. Actually, I think so. I think he'll get up to 100. I think he'll get up past 100 carries next season. Due to Mike Davis also being gone, hopefully no injuries will happen to him in the upcoming season, especially in the preseason. With that, I also want to look at the points of where he did have the best yards per carry among the running backs. So why not give him 100 carries? I mean, last season, Chris Carson had 247 carries in his, he had 1,000 plus yard season. So if you minus, I don't know, let's say they even it out. They both get, let's say, 150 carries each. I don't think both will get 1,000 yards through that, but I think they both get like 850. Is that crazy to predict? I don't think that's that crazy to predict, because I think they're both very talented. I think Chris Carson's you see, thinking about this now, if they both split the carries, I think they would have them out the even number of yards. But I think due to the fact that he had a 1,000-plus yard season, Chris Carson saying, I think it's going to be the same as before. But I do think Chris Carson will get the brunt of the carries. But Rashard Penny would get it. I'm going to say he gets at least 110. I'll say the over-under. If there was an over-under of 100 carries, I'll say he gets over about 110 carries for Rashard Penny. So I'm thinking that's a pretty good flex. Honestly, I would say Chris Carson's a better flex. But being, say, based off rounds, and he'll probably be taken a little bit higher than Rashard Penny would. So if you're looking for a late round steal for a flex player, and a guy that's good for a bye week kind of running back, Rashard Penny might be your guy. I was high on him when he was in college. He was a first team All American. I liked him a lot in college, and it's safe to say that he could do the same thing. He could revitalize for this season. He didn't play bad last season. He just didn't get a lot of touches. So I don't see the harm in picking Rashard Penny on your fantasy team. I would see the harm if you drafted him in the first round. I would see the problem if you drafted him in the top five rounds. But let's say six below. Yeah. Why not? Like, I don't see the problem there. Like, I just see him as a late round pick. I think he's just a positive flex player that can basically I see him as a positive player that can give you some points when you need a couple of them, you know. He's reliable. I feel like he can be a reliable flex player, a reliable bench. Like, you won't say, "Oh, I wish I started him on this day." But you're going to say, "Oh, he did pretty good. He got about 11 points." I say, like, he can give you a solid 11, 15 points. Not a game, but I would say probably every couple of games. I say his worst is probably up to that point of where, like, he gets 2 or 3 points. But he does have, like, he has a high of probably, like, 25, and I'd say his medium is probably, like, he can probably get you around 15 points when you need it. And I think that's good enough for those late-round picks, you know? I think that's what you want in the long run when it comes down to your final picks. So moving from that to wide receivers, this guy has been a serious question mark for me for a long time. Allen Robinson, his first season in Chicago was mixed. He secured 55 of 94 targets for 754 yards and 4 touchdowns in 13 games. Well, those are, like, actually acceptable. Like, yeah, they're like, okay, cool. But he did sign a 3-year, $42 million contract. So it was probably not as what they wanted. Well, he did spent the year coming back from an ACL tear that he sustained at the start of the 2017 season. And then he got hip, groin, and rib injuries that cost him 3 games and nagged him throughout this season in Chicago. And new offense working with, and a sophomore quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky, you know. He was a standout in Jacksonville. Going to a new team is always a drag when it comes down to a new offensive scheme and what have you. So I guess the question is he the guy you want in your starting lineup? See, that's a tricky one, to say the least. But, you know, if I'm passing or cashing on this guy, I'm passing. I don't think that he's worth a bench spot. I don't think, because he has so little and far in between breakout games, that it's a serious concern to me. And I would rather have someone who consistently gets 10 to 15 points or 15 to 18 points rather than someone that can get 25 to 30 points or on a great day or go down to 5 to 8 and not contribute at all. I don't want that risk. I feel like that's too risky. So, yeah, I think of it as more of a too much of a gamble for me personally. So, I mean, like I said, he could go break out with Mitch Drabinski after his second year coming back. That could totally happen. But again, I feel like it's too much of a gamble for me personally. Well, I had the other wide receiver they put on here was Doug Baldwin, but he just had surgery. He's having surgery for a sports hernia in April. And expected to have, quote, some challenges to overcome getting healthy. So, bottom line is, I say avoid Doug Baldwin. He's having surgery in April. Too close to for comfort. I'm uncomfortable. Then for tight end. This one is interesting to say. This one is actually pretty intriguing. Delanie Walker, as he has been very reliable the last couple of years, having played in at least 15 games and scored over and secured over 100 receptions, He has secured over 100 targets, 60 receptions, and 800 receiving yards in all of his last four healthy seasons prior to 2018. His best season was a 94 catch, 1,088 yards, six touchdown season in 2015. And early in the season, it ended poorly. He suffered an ankle injury that ended his season. And it seems like he's ready to get back for 2019, and he's pretty optimistic about what the future holds. There are some good people are liking his chances getting back on track to where he was before, but you know, he's gonna be 35 when week one happens in 2019, and he's coming off a season ending injury last season to an ankle, which will slow him down indefinitely. And does that make him a less of a threat when it comes down to receiving the ball and catching the football? Because he's too small to be a blocking tight end. And as well, he's coming off an ankle injury, so blocking's not going to be his strong suit. He's always going to be a receiving guy. But with an ankle injury, getting over that is one thing. But then he's 35. He's going to be 35 at least. See, with that age, it worries me. But Marcus Mariota has always relied on Delanie Walker since he got drafted to the Titans. So, honestly, he wouldn't be the worst pickup. He would be your first tight end you would honestly think about selecting. But coming off an injury and being 35, and then there's that kid George Kittle from San Francisco who's completely the opposite, healthy, coming off a record-breaking year, and extremely young. Honestly, I see him going undrafted. But I will say this. If you do draft Delanie Walker as your tight end, it's not a bad choice. Like I said, Marcus Mariota, he's like his security blanket, if you will. He's one of the most reliable guys that he is throwing the ball to. He catches he averages 60% of his catches. Out of his targets, he catches the ball 60% of the time. Out of 100 after 100 targets, he catches 60 of them. So the stats speak for themselves and the average speaks for themselves. So he can produce. He absolutely 100% can produce. And you know what? If Kittle's taken, Ertz is taken, Ebron's taken, and Kelsey's taken, if he's in my top five. He'll be my number five tight end selected. I'm going on a limb right now. That's how much faith I have in his consistent offense with the team, as well as Marcus Mariota. But that's the key. If Marcus Mariota is starting and not Ryan Tannehill, then I would definitely say, yes, you can pick up Delanie Walker late in the draft, probably your last pick, and steal him in the last round. But if it's Ryan Tannehill that turns out to be the starter, which doesn't look like it's going to happen, but, you know, you got to look at all possibilities, then avoid Delanie Walker. Avoid the Titans in general. But that's how I say about all those. And those are the most unpredictable guys for this season, for me personally. And that is our show today. Thank you so much for joining us. And actually, this is going to be my last fantasy football show, as my contract has expired at the end of this month. So I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for letting me talk about fantasy football. I've had a blast talking about it. Whether you hated my predictions or loved my predictions, I enjoyed talking about it. I had a blast doing it. And I hope that I will see you all again soon. Maybe I don't know where my future holds, but I hope to see you all there. And as always, I'm Jeff Malinoff. I'll see you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.